the team have got to be involved in everything because they're going to be the ones doing, you know, the nitty gritty. You might think, oh, it's grazing. But, you know, if it doesn't light them up and get them excited when you're in a pitch, they're out.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, before we get to today's guest, I just want to say that we all here at E-commerce Masterplan get so much joy when we see you guys, the listeners, raving about us on social or in lists or in blogs. So we like to repay that joy by giving you a little shout out here on the podcast. So huge thanks to Brittany J for saying on LinkedIn that our show is one of three secret weapon podcasts that the savviest of marketers and e-commerce store owners are tuning into. Thank you so much for that recommendation, Brittany J. We really, really appreciate it. And most importantly, thank you for listening. Now, in this episode, I'm chatting to another listener. I'm chatting to an amazing CRM specialist. Her most recent role has been at Ted Baker, the fashion business, and it ended 2 weeks before they went into administration. So we're not going to be talking about that. Rather, we're going to be talking about the CRM strategy she was working on with them and CRM improvements and how to go about doing that in your business. At the time of recording, Nikki's available for temp and permanent roles. I can't guarantee she'll still be available by the time this goes live, and certainly not by the time this has been live for a few days. So if you're interested in getting her in your business on a temp or a perm role, then get in contact with her quickly. Details at the end of the episode or on the show notes page on the website. So what are we actually talking about? We are talking about how to build a great CRM-based retention strategy into your business. Nikki will be sharing her process for doing this. We'll be talking about audits. We'll be talking about SMS. We'll talk about negotiation, how to reduce the price of your CRM activity. And we'll be talking about how you go about building the team to deliver on all of this too. So yeah, get ready for lots around email, database, data capture, other marketing channels, loads of great stuff. Nikki really, really knows her stuff. So please make sure you listen to the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips either, which are brilliant, and my own take on this episode. If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it? You don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. What lies at the heart of your profitability? Making the right decisions about your inventory. Genie is here to help you start making better inventory decisions fast with smart reports that anyone can understand, so you avoid the pain of stockouts, overstocks, and dead stock. Genie offers fast-growing Shopify brands intuitive inventory management that doesn't break the bank and which you can get set up in minutes rather than weeks. Intuitively track, analyze, plan, and order inventory with one platform. Join brands like OneWith, JustWares, and TentSweat by taking advantage of this special deal for E-commerce Masterplan listeners. Get 30% off for the first 2 months by going to ecmp.info/genie. That's ecmp for e-commerce master plan .info/genie, G-E-N-I-E. So ecmp.info/genie to get your inventory in order. And now to introduce our special guest. Nikki Lomax is a superstar CRM leader, most recently spending 4.5 months at global fashion retailer Ted Baker as head of CRM to build and train the new team, fix the CRM tech stack and database, launch SMS, cut costs, and put in place a killer strategy for 2024. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Chloe. Thank you very much for having me. It's very exciting.
It's awesome to have you on. You have so much experience in this space and retention is such a hot topic at the moment that it's really cool to have you here. So thanks so much for giving up your time to do this. Before we get into all that juicy stuff, though, how did you end up in the wonderful world of e-commerce?
Yeah, so I suppose I've come into it maybe not the traditional route. So I suppose I started my career as a media buyer planner, turned data planner and specialist. And then from there, the last 4 years, I've really pivoted those data skills into becoming an e-commerce expert. Yeah, so I was at data agency Mortu for over 11 years, where I headed up their media planning and data departments. And then I've started going it alone ever since.
And when you say media buying and media planning, we're talking Facebook ads? Are we talking magazine coverage? What sort of media were you involved with organising?
It was predominantly direct mail, so a lot of third party data planning with the likes of Experian, Abacus and so on. But we also did work with other offlines, so inserts, press buying, outdoor, lots of store launches, door drops. And we did do some performance as well, but it wasn't really the greatest share of what we did.
Got you. So all those kind of traditional acquisition channels, I suppose we could call them.
Yeah. And it was all meaning for fast-growing retailers.
Got you. Okay. So now you're kind of covering the whole remit and doing this in-house for brands. I guess before again we get into the detail on all of that, what's it like doing interim contracts? Because you've achieved so much in 4.5 months, just 4.5 months at Ted Baker. It must be quite mad having to get in and make impact so quickly.
It is a bit, and I think it's something I've learned and developed and probably still keep evolving over, you know, wherever I go next. And it's really kind of, I think, developing that contract mentality, which I have definitely evolved and adapted and, you know, keep learning, I'm sure, from each contract I've got. But I think probably especially the one at Ted Baker where I made the most impact was, you know, you've got to go in quite quickly, identify what needs fixing, fix it, how you're going to fix it, and then what else needs doing apart from, you know, those immediate kind of firefighting tasks that need doing. But, you know, in terms of cons, you have your downtime. You go in, you've got to keep proving yourself, which can be a little bit stressful, but you've got to keep doing that and, I guess, prove your worth and your value. If it's the right timing and what you want to do is having the contract renewed, but potentially not. And yeah, but then also you've got these times between jobs. So that can be kind of equally good or not. You know, you have all that time at home to do all the stuff that maybe you never had to do between the jobs.
I always think it's like a grass is always greener scenario. Like once you've done some contract roles or some temp roles, it's like, oh, the temp roles are really fun. I get to play in a whole new sandpit. But when you're in them, it's like, oh, but it'd be really nice to be here for 2 years.
Yes. And yeah.
It's totally, grass is always greener. Yeah. It's like being supplier side or client side. I know a lot of people kind of migrate between the two because it's like, that's good, but that's not good, but that's good, but that's not good.
Yeah. I mean, like the flexibility has been really great. I think with your young family, young children, and last year we decided to knock the back of our house off and then our roof. It's been quite good to be a bit more flexible and to be able to, you know, be in lots of places and tons of decisions and planning and budgeting, which is generally what I spend all my time doing and quite like it, and project managing. Yeah, so it's worked quite well doing contracting, but actually, you know, those kids, they're both at school and things now. It's a bit like, is this the right thing now for kind of the next part of my life? Maybe something a little bit more longer term might be better.
Very cool. Okay, let's get into the juicy details now. A lot of brands are kind of refocused. It feels like we're going to look back on 2024 and go, that's the year everyone started caring about retention. obviously, as a CRM specialist, that's your bread and butter, is dealing with these kind of things. Why do you think there's so much renewed focus on the email, the SMS, the direct mail, the database side of things in retail at the moment?
I think, to be honest, in all honesty, from the brands I've worked with especially the last year, I think people are just getting totally fed up with all budget going into, or majority of budget into Google and Meta, you can't see what's going on. It seems to be getting more and more of a big black box. CPA is going up, and you know, it costs so much to recruit a new customer now. And it's like, well, actually, hang on, what are you doing with those people that you've actually recruited? And I think people are waking up more to the fact, you're like, right, okay, so we've got these customers. Hang on a minute, let's not keep buying more. Let's retain, invest, and keep them. Think about loyalty, VIPs, why people haven't bought for a while, and how you're going to do that. So then diversifying your channels of recruitment. So obviously, yeah, email, definitely, but, you know, SMS, growing that, what's the best format of having SMS and launching it? And then, you know, not forgetting direct mail. You know, there's nothing better, you know, getting into the homes directly and people holding something and keeping it.
So on the SMS front, I feel like supplier side, as an industry, we've talked a lot about SMS. Everyone's saying, oh, it's a huge channel, it's a huge channel, it's a huge channel. But here in the UK especially, I think we're lagging behind the US in terms of implementation. And a lot of brands are still really nervous or ignoring it. Is it for you, you mentioned it there, so is it like a go-to, no-brainer addition? And if so, what do we need to know not to screw it up?
I think you're going to need to get in there quite quickly. So it's a really high converting channel. If you make it work, if you don't bombard your customers, I mean, one very premium brand, I get an SMS from them literally every other day. And I'm like, I've probably clicked through once, actually, I wouldn't say never. But it's like, well, that's too much. That's costing them a huge amount of money. And I still haven't bought from them. It's too much. So you've got to get the right strategy. You don't want to be annoying customers. But actually, there's quite a lot of stands out now in people's SMS inbox, which you can't really get on email. But actually, people, you know, will only sign up to a certain number of brands at one time. So you think that the magic number is about 7 SMS companies that someone will sign up to. So I think if you want to be part of that mix, you probably want to do it soon, until someone realizes, oh, I've signed up to enough SMS, my text box is now getting full up, I don't want to have any more. But you've also got to kind of have the right way of doing it, of how you want to grow at that time. So, whilst, you know, obviously SMS has been around for ages, so it's weird that this is like this new channel, because actually we've all had text like way before WhatsApp. It's find it a little bit odd. But you need to kind of work out, basically, do you have the resource and the capacity to learn and to do it yourself in-house? And you can do it through your ESP, but it's quite basic. You can kind of integrate it quite well, though, with your triggers and flow emails. Or do you need to work with a partner, which you can kind of lean on to learn, upskill the team using it essentially as a bit of a training thing? And maybe you do that for your first year and then review how it's doing. Might be a little bit more expensive, but actually, if there's no one in the team has ever done it before, I think really consider hard about having an external specialist. You know, that's what they do all day, every day, rather than going, oh yeah, I know SMS, like, I can do it myself.
It's clearly the time is now. I think that's fascinating. There's only 7 brands people are signing up to. Totally makes it something you want to be getting into before your competition does. So yeah, love that insight. Okay, so taking a slight step back from that, Nikki, you've just done a project of building a whole CRM strategy. Where does that start? Does it start with a promo calendar? Does it start with a list of automations you want to build? Or do we have to kind of go even further back and start doing audits? For anyone listening who wants to kind of like take their CRM-driven marketing channels by the horns, shake them up and make them work this year, what have they got to get in place?
I would go further back. I think it's right back to basics. And actually, what are your data touch points? And are they working as they should be? Because it's quite amazing, from brands I've worked with the last couple of years, how much actually that integration's then not all set up as you think. So I'd go back and literally do an order, sign up, right, pop up, is that going through? Can I sign up on the footer of the website? Do an order, can I buy at checkout? Am I opting people in properly at checkout? Is that data actually going now through into my database? Can I segment and see, you know, what channel is going to be working the best? And then, you know, what happened after my purchase? Maybe I have stores. Is that data now coming through as well? What's happening on those transactional emails, follow-ups, you know, welcome nursery programs? Are they up to date? Do they have the season's images on them? It's quite amazing of people I've worked with, you know, life's dice triggers, and you haven't even, you've got last season's like image in stock on there. It's like, keep it relevant.
Oh, I've found so many times as a consumer, as someone advising brands, as my own nosiness going, and to be fair, in my own business, exactly the same things where you go, oh, I totally forgot that sign up existed. I wonder what it does.
Or even like you sign up and then you don't get anything. It's like, and you've such a missed opportunity. And it's like, wow, okay. So then it's like, okay, doing that order, I think, is the first step, is just vital, because then you can very quickly identify going, okay, right, well, I signed up through that and I did that, but I haven't got anything. And where am I in the database? Do I even appear in the database?
It's definitely one. I know I've done similar processes for people. They've gone, what, there isn't a sign up in the footer? There was.
Yeah.
Because you suddenly realise that stuff's missing too.
Or actually you've got one in the footer, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Yes, yes.
That's amazing how much often that happens.
It's like, we thought it worked. No, it's still integrating with your old ESP that no longer exists. So we've got this kind of like checking all the systems are working. Is there also a chance we're going to discover that actually we don't have some of the tech in place? So does a tech stack audit come into this too?
Yes. So you've got to then work out what you want to do. So, you know, starting off with your strategy, where you are at the moment, what reporting, what insight you've got, what segmentation, and then is your tech stack able to deliver that? Then thinking about your team as well. So is your team set up to be able to deliver that? How expert are they? How have they had the right training? Even if they got trained up, is it still going to actually deliver really what you want to do, you know, at ease? If you've, you know, CRM teams at the moment, I think they're pretty tight, you know, the budgets are low. So you've got to work out, you know, is this seamless? Are they spending ages, you know, just doing some HTML coding, and like what are the team actually up to? How long is it taking them to build an email? You know, is it taking them long? You know, is it, it's basically comes down to two things, like anyone's workload, you know, is it a training thing that needs addressing, or actually it's not been done in the right way? So is the processing, you know, like, okay, well, is it because they're having a fight, you know, with the creative team and can't get the right images and copy, and there's a whole big back and forth going there, or actually the actual building and getting the data and translations, like, is all that just really, really clunky? So working out, you know, you've got the right partners to provide what you need to do.
Well, before we hit the record button, you mentioned about the importance of negotiation within the skill set of a good CRM person, which I was like, what, really? So I have to ask you about that now. Why is negotiation such an important part of this whole process of improving the CRM piece? Because it's not our customers we're negotiating with it. So who are we negotiating with and why?
It's a really interesting one. I tell you what, it's kind of come to light quite recently. I suppose I'm, you know, in between roles and, you know, on the hunt for my next gig. Negotiation never appears on any CRM job specs. It's like, where is negotiation? However, what I've spent 4 out of the kind of 4.5 months at Ted Baker doing was pretty much negotiating. So looking at every supplier, the costs, the contracts, what's going on. I'm like, hang on, like, this is a really needed skill. So, you know, if you're, you know, we led a RFP for a new ESP, budgets are limited and you need it to go as far as possible. So every supplier and every kind of penny and every pound that you've got on that budget needs to go as far as possible. So every supplier you're working with, you've got to negotiate with that supplier to get the most and most value as possible. So, and that's not, you know, you've got the commercial and contract side of things, but there's also, are you getting the most of from your those suppliers and those relationships? So what added value are you getting? The right amount of time, are you pushing them, are you kind of understanding everything that they're delivering and all the strategy? So this is quite a big thing, you know, spent time at Ted Baker doing, and actually the team were like, wow, Nikki, you're like on that call, like you really kind of kept pushing and pushing until you kind of really understood what was happening. But I think from having my like media buying background and you know, negotiating kind of data buys of, you know, several million when I was at More2, it's like, well, you need that buying part. Negotiation is actually a skill that's not really that's needed. So even with like direct mail, where I've done a lot of that in the past, you know, negotiation is really important, because from you're talking with so many different suppliers and print and paper, your postage, but all of those things need negotiating. But yet, you know, CRM, you're not asking for a negotiation skill, but you're actually spending a huge amount of your time buying.
You saying all of that, Nikki, reminds me of back when I ran catalogue mailings for a UK high street retailer. I spent so much effort negotiating. You know, we had like sealed bids. We went through the detail of every little bit of each contract to work out how we could shave a few pence off here, a few pence off there. And I feel like when it comes to the digital channels, I think maybe it's because the SaaS world, we get so used to chucking in a credit card and signing up on a site that the whole idea that we could negotiate an email, you know, an ESP contract, or we could negotiate an SMS service contract, just kind of flies out the window. You've obviously been, you know, put a lot of focus on that recently. Did it deliver results?
Massively, yeah. I mean, it's like you're given an SMS cost and you work it through and do your comparison against other lesions. You know, well, hang on. If you even like get that down by like a couple of penny and you're sending out, you know, a few million SMS a year, you're like, wow, yeah, well, that difference is going to add up pretty quickly.
Many SaaS people listening will hate me for saying this, but if you're working for a known brand, high street brand, respected brand, that there's a good chance that supplier might want on their website homepage, might want a case study with, you've got another lovely big stick to get them with in the negotiation. You know, you want us on your system. You want to be able to claim us as a client. What can you do for me? It's definitely a question I'd be asking.
And there's other people out there and you can walk away.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, SaaS people, but it's true. Anything else we should know about before we go into a big CRM retention project to set ourselves up for success, Nikki?
We've obviously talked quite a lot about tactical things and data integrations and different channels, but actually there's a kind of a big elephant, I suppose, in the room that maybe we haven't spoken about. And that's obviously like the team. And I think it's really important. I think, you know, the level I'm working at as a kind of senior CRM is, you know, not being a manager and you're a leader of the team. You know, you are the leader of your ship, essentially. And I think it's just so important, like the collaboration of everything you're doing is keeping the team involved, you know, that they have their say in the creation and development, because, you know, ultimately they're going to be the ones delivering it. So, you know, if you're looking out, you know, doing an RFP for your email service provider, it's like the team have got to be involved in everything, because they're going to be the ones, you know, the nitty-gritty. You might think, oh, it's grazing, but, you know, if it doesn't light them up and get them excited when you're in a pitch, they're out. You know, they've got to be involved, and they've have your strategy sessions, you know, every quarter, review it, what's going on, take them on the journey. And if they're not on the journey, then none of it's going to work.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it? You don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline. What lies at the heart of your profitability? Making the right decisions about your inventory. Genie is here to help you start making better inventory decisions fast with smart reports that anyone can understand, so you avoid the pain of stockouts, overstocks, and dead stock. Genie offers fast-growing Shopify brands intuitive inventory management that doesn't break the bank and which you can get set up in minutes rather than weeks. Intuitively track, analyze, plan, and order inventory with one platform. Join brands like OneWith, JustWares, and TentSweat by taking advantage of this special deal for e-commerce Master Plan listeners. Get 30% off for the first 2 months by going to ecmp.info/genie. That's ECMP for e-commerce master plan, .info/genie, G-E-N-I-E. So ECMP.info/genie to get your inventory in order.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Nikki, are you ready for the top tips?
Ah, okay.
Cool. Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, I think as most people do, I've got two. One of them, without sounding too cringy, I would actually really recommend your book. So when I started doing the kind of contracting consultancy after, you know, being with an employer for a really long time, it was also after a maternity leave and I needed to kind of upskill quite quickly. And I bought a couple of books and one of them was your, you know, How to Buy, Get Traffic That Buys Your Website. So it's actually really good, back to basics, get knowledge back again and get me going, which was worked really well alongside your podcast.
Before we get onto your second book, I'd just like to say to the audience, one of the things I absolutely adore about that book is that half the world calls it How to Get Traffic That Buys to Your Website and the other half of the world calls it e-commerce marketing.
Yeah, I think that's where I was like stumbling on what I was saying. I'm like, I'm looking at the title going, what's it actually called? Yeah,
it's kind of mad. I don't know how that's happened, but it's very cool because on Amazon, if you type in either of those phrases, it recommends my book, which is very cool. So sorry, totally Chloe reveling in your adoration of my book moment there. Let's get over that and let's find out what your second book recommendation is, please, Nikki.
My other one is The Job Search Playbook by Andrew McCaskill. Now, if people who don't know Andrew McCaskill, definitely looked up on LinkedIn. He's one of these LinkedIn, masterclass or something you call it. He does loads of live talks about job searching. But what he makes a really big thing is, he's got it as the footer on his book, going, saying the leader's guide to accessing the hidden job market. Now, all the roles I've had in the last 4 years, which most of them have actually been like repeat business or renew contracts, they've all been through the hidden job market.
Ooh, there's a top recommendation for anyone looking for a new job, because I must admit, back when I was employed, my last job came through the hidden job market, and such an easier recruitment process.
It's quicker, it's referrals, it's like this book. Yeah, every time, basically between, I've already read this about 5 times, this book, and it's always a bit of a thing of how far into the book will I get it before getting my next gig. But it's just full of tips of how to work your network and how to access that hidden job market. And it's really, really powerful.
Nice. I love that. And a lucky talisman as well, clearly. Will I get to the end before I find a job? The traffic top tip, Nikki. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Right. So little answering this probably slightly indirectly, but I would actually just say, just check your integrations work would be my top tip. Don't assume that they are all there. So, you know, the pop-up footer is men's and women's, going to men and women's, you sending the right thing to the right people. So actually my top tip would be get your basics right and keep them up to date.
Oh, such important advice. I'm so glad you've had that one because, oh, so many. Anyway, before I rant off on it, let's go on to the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I talk about reporting and having that automated into your inbox every morning so you don't have to go off and do things. It's just there. Come in, have your GA, have your emails. It's like, right, you know what's working and then you know what to do. My second thing would say, no meetings before 9:30. So you've actually got time to look at that, work out if there's something that needs fixing quite quickly, get your head together, make a cup of tea, and then get going.
Oh, two brilliant pieces of advice. Yeah, it still amazes me how many people don't automate their reporting. It's like, you could spend so much time pulling together a spreadsheet, or you can just get it in your inbox. Mm. So simple. Finally, carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce business?
One bit on your DM, I think it's really important. Yeah, there's a bit of a thing about paper, but actually it's absolutely fine if it's used correctly and sensibly. So I think showing off all the carbon credentials on their FSC, logos, World Land Trust, all those things. From a digital point of view, I would say on emails, don't have double opt-in. It uses up more energy and no one converts. So it's like a double ridiculous thing to be doing.
I love that one. And I totally agree. Nikki, before we say goodbye, I know you're at the point of recording, you are currently looking for your next contract. So if someone is going, yes, we need Nikki's help, how do they go about getting in touch with you about permanent or temporary roles?
Yes, so please look me up on LinkedIn as Nikki Lomax. And then also you could drop me an email at nikki@lomaxmarketing.co.uk. At the moment, yeah, concentrating on lots of kind of informal chats, networking, speaking to people. So please just drop me a note and love to hear from you.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Nikki. I suspect you will be snapped up very shortly because why wouldn't you be? So everybody get through to Nikki fast if you want to get her involved in your business. Nikki, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Master Plan podcast today and for being so cool, sharing so much with us. We really, really appreciate it. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Loads of brilliant insight there from Nikki around how to go about improving your customer retention. And as with any project in e-commerce, you don't start with the tactical stuff. You start by looking at what you've already got. Then you work out how you can improve that. And that may well be those systems-y, process-y stuff she was talking about around teams and leadership and negotiation of costs, so important at the moment in our industry. Really, really cool advice from her across the board, really. And that SMS one, definitely one. If you've got the bandwidth to do it, the systems in place to do it, well worth a look. But please don't send your customers a message every other day. It will not work for you. And it will cost you a small fortune because SMS is a lot more expensive than email. You can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including her top tips and links to the things we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast or use our direct episode short links. That's ecmp.info/ the number of this episode, and that will take you straight to the correct page. When you get to the website, please do add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Like our e-commerce explored webinar series where we recently covered returns. I'm assuming there's plenty of fashion people listening. You definitely want to have a watch of the replay of that one. If you like this episode, then do make sure you check out all our fashion episodes at ecmp.info/fashion. And if you, like Nikki, are a listener to this podcast who's thinking, maybe I could use this podcast to unlock the hidden job market, get in touch. Always interested to hear from people with great expertise in the space. You can apply to be a guest at ecmp.info/guest. And thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
If your tech stack is becoming a bottleneck to growth, it's time to replatform, and you should check out Shopline. Shopline is the modern commerce platform that's disrupting Europe as one of Asia's leading e-commerce platforms. Whether your bottleneck is setting up more sales channels like social commerce or expanding to new markets globally, Shopline takes care of everything from store setups, checkouts and payments to logistics and more. With single-click migration and out-of-the-box tools, they're there to help. The best part about it, you don't need to pay until your site is live. Here in the UK, they power brands like In The Style and Everything £5, whilst in Asia, they're the platform of choice for huge brands like Lego and Muji. If you want to scale, it's time to book your free trial or have a chat with one of the Shopline team. Find out what Shopline could do for you via ecmp.info/Shopline. That's ecmp.info/Shopline.